In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I mean, we've arrived at the conclusion of the retreat. After this Mass, silence ceases, and you're free to speak with those who aren't a part of the Blessed Trinity. And speak with one another, and it'd be a good opportunity to maybe share some graces with one another. Remember, it says within the book of Tobit, chapter 12, the advice Tobit gives to his son Tobias. It says, the secrets of a king are to be kept, but the works of God, these are to be proclaimed from the mountaintops. So if God has done something for you, and it can be shared, indeed, do give thanks to God and share that at an appropriate moment. Now, as we've gone through asking our Lord how it is that we should be prepared for these days, it is appropriate and quite fitting in divine providence that we should begin in a similar place to where we should end, or we should end today, in a similar place to where we began. We begin speaking about those necessary things that we do at the beginning of a retreat, which is the reality of sin, of those things that keep us from friendship with God. And so it is important for us here on this last day that we should arrive at Divine Mercy Sunday. It's a day that we are able to gain this indulgence by having gone to confession in the appropriate time, having turned to our Lord and confided ourselves into His divine mercy. For the Lord desires an affluence of His mercy, an ocean of it to be poured out to drown away the sins of the entirety of the world. That is what happens at Mass, every Mass. We were just conversing before we began this Mass in the sacristy a little bit as we were getting vested to enter into these sacred mysteries. We were conversing on the life of the great saint, patron of all diocesan priests, all secular priests, St. John Vianney. He's the only so canonized saint. He had such a profound view of what our Lord was in the Blessed Sacrament that toward the end of his life, some of his sermons consisted only in shouting, incoherent things, and gesticulating. One of his best sermons that he's ever preached was one which he over and over again proclaimed the reality of our Lord's presence in the church, where he just continued to preach over and over again, He's here. He's there. He's there. Over and over again, that He's there. That's where our God is. He is for the purpose of showing us His divine mercy, of allowing Himself to enter into us, to becoming so small that we could be near to Him, not to be afraid to approach Him and to take Him into ourselves so that we could be incorporated into Him. Still more, St. John Vianney said that in the Mass, in this Mass, that if you were to take up the entirety of the works that any man could do, all the good works that have ever happened since the beginning of the world until now, and anything that will happen until its total dissolution, you were to add them up and weigh them upon a scale, they would not equal to the single value of once the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And do you know why that is? He puts the point very finely. He says, because all those good works are the works of whom? Men. They're works of men. But the Mass is the work of God. When we come to Mass, we're not coming to do a human thing. We come to Mass, we're not coming here to see a priest do some ancient actions, much less to hear him say some easily forgettable words. We're not even here merely to hear the word of God proclaimed. We're here for an even greater purpose, to let God do the thing that He does best, which is see that He Himself is worshipped, which is what happens at the sacrifice of the Mass, and to ask Him if we could be made worthy to have a share in it. What does God do for us in the holy sacrifice of the Mass? Again, St. John Vianney gives us the words. What does God do for us in the holy sacrifice of the Mass? St. John Vianney says He takes His good heart, His sacred heart. He says He takes His Eucharistic heart to love us, So in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, he takes his good Eucharistic heart to love us. And St. John Vianney says, he takes out from it, squeezes a perspiration of his tenderness and his mercy. This is normally when I ask the ladies what a perspiration is. They usually don't know. It's because ladies don't do it. I'm told they merely glisten. But what's a perspiration?
Sweat.
That's right. It's a sweat. And why do you sweat? Because you're hard at work. Why do you sweat? Because you're doing something that's tough. Why do you sweat? Because you're giving your all into something. Why does a priest wear this on his arm? A bit of garment, a vestment, called the maniple. It's because he has to do work. And that work means that he's going to sweat. So when he offers Mass, it's not a casual thing. He wears this because if he's doing it right often, he's going to cry. And he needs to wipe his tears. So are the prayers that he prays as he puts it on. And so our Lord goes to work. He goes to work at Mass, doing a surgery which removes his own heart and places it out for us and squeezes it as tightly as he can so that a perspiration of his tenderness and mercy might flow. To get an idea of what it means when we say a perspiration in this specific sense, it's not an onrush, it's not a gush, it's not an ocean. A perspiration would be what maybe some of you did as young boys to your little brothers or little sisters when you had them carefully examine an orange peel that you had in your hand and tried to lure them to get close and to look at it. And when they got their eye just so close enough, you squeezed it. And what happened is a perspiration shot into their eye. So our Lord squeezes out with all his effort a perspiration of his tenderness and mercy. And how potent is that tenderness and mercy even in perspiration form? Again, John Vianney continues. That from there flows forth an ocean of mercy. Sufficient to drown away the sins of the entire world. That's what happens at Mass, brothers. That's what happens at Mass every time, men. That happens at Mass everywhere you go, no matter how reverent or how irreverent the Mass may be, no matter where it may be celebrated, no matter who's doing it. If the Mass happens, that's what God does. And so the question for you and I is not to look upon the externals, though they be important. As we spoke about during this conference, externals are very important. They aid the interior, as do the interior aid the exterior. But the far more important question is, do we realize what happens, and do we receive what happens? Because it happens. Perspiration of his tenderness and his mercy, which is powerful enough to drown away the sins of the entire world. If all of this retreat was just a waste of time, you gain nothing from it so far. Gain this. Gain this from the Mass. Because the Mass is the one thing that should be the center of everything that happens on you, even beyond the moment when you expire from this life. God willing, you'll receive a Catholic funeral. And if you don't, you'll have no one else to blame but yourself for not having that because you didn't make the preparation ahead of time. That's what happens at Mass. Are you going to receive it? It's unfathomable, the amount of divine mercy that is poured out for us in these days. St. Maria Faustina, the one who the Lord chose to be his emissary of divine mercy, speaks of it this way. She prays, O Jesus, eternal truth, our life, I call upon you and I beg your mercy for poor sinners. O sweetest heart of my Lord, full of pity and unfathomable mercy, I plead with you for poor sinners. O most sacred heart, font of mercy from which gush forth rays of inconceivable graces upon the entirety of the human race. I beg of you light for poor sinners. O Jesus, be mindful of your own bitter passion and do not permit the loss of souls redeemed at so dear a price of your most precious blood. O Jesus, When I consider the great price of your blood, I rejoice in its immensity. For one drop alone would have been enough for the salvation of all sinners. Although in the abyss of wickedness and of ingratitude, the price paid for us can never be equaled. Therefore, let every soul trust in the passion of the Lord and place its hope in his mercy. God will not deny his mercy to anyone. Heaven and earth may change, but God's mercy will never be exhausted. Oh, what immense joy burns in my heart when I contemplate your incomprehensible goodness. Oh, my Jesus, I desire to bring all sinners to your feet that they may glorify your mercy throughout the endless ages. Oh, my Jesus, despite the deep night that is all around me and the dark clouds which hide upon the horizon, I know that the sun never goes out. Oh, Lord, though I cannot comprehend you and do not understand your ways, I nonetheless trust in your mercy. If it is your will, Lord, that I live always in such darkness, may you be forever blessed. I ask only one thing, my Jesus. Do not allow me to offend you in any way. Oh, my Jesus, you alone know the longings and the sufferings of my heart. I am glad that I can suffer for you, however little I may be permitted. And when that the suffering is more than I can bear, I will take refuge in the Lord, in the Blessed Sacrament. And it is there that I will speak to him in profound silence. Hear, men, then, is the nature of the mercy of the feast which we celebrate today, unfathomable in all its ways, poured out for sinners. It's here laying before you. If you just take hold of it, begin to conceive it, and ask our Lord to apply it to yourself. Every Mass, keep these sentiments in your heart, and you will not advance on the path of perfection by little tiny doddering strides, but by leaps and bounds, brothers, because you'll fly not upon the wings of your own ability, but you glide on the ocean of his grace. Our Lord desires to do absolutely everything for you. Indeed, all you need to do is receive. So again, as our Lord is raised up in the chalice, ask for that grace to flow from his chalice, to cover you in his precious blood of mercy, which gushes from his sacred side, that you'd get that little perspiration, some tenderness, some mercy, to go through the hardness of our hearts. That what our Lord desires to be again in us this day might have its beginnings here and now, and bear fruit for the growth and grace that ends only when it is converted into the newness of life known only to the blessed ones in heaven. In this we continue, brothers. In this we ask for the grace to persevere. To him be glory now and always and forever. O Mary, conceived without original sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.